This is about a time when Calcutta was reshaping itself. Independence was in 1947. At the time, East Pakistan was created. We know about the consequences of that across the borders here in the East and the West in Punjab area, what happened. Many of the Hindu musicians, most of them, decided to leave Bangladesh, and the nearest area they could think of was Calcutta. So they were all moving to Calcutta, which left Bangladesh almost barren of musicians. Hardly any good musicians left in Bangladesh after that. One such musician was Pandit Bankim Ghosh. No one ever heard of him. He came from Borishal and somehow landed in our house. He came into our house before I was born. I was born in 1955, so I'm talking about sometime around 1952. Around that time he came in. As I started growing up, that was my initiation into music. My mother became his disciple. What was his main instrument that you get to hear very rarely these days? Esraj. His father was very renowned. We found mention of his father's name in some of the old books of music history. And I didn't get a chance to listen to his father, but I could imagine how his father was through his playing. I was, barely maybe 3 or 4 years old, and his routine was that he would wake up late in the morning and then he would clean himself up, have his tea, and then listen to radio and tune, pick up a few instruments every now and then. Earning a living out of tuition, private tuition, he had to play quite a few other instruments. And I was amazed to see his ability to pick up any instrument and play. We hear about Ustad Alauddin Khan's being able to do that. At that time, there was something in the talent that there were a few other people also, less known, who had the same kind of ability. So in front of my own eyes, I saw him playing the flute, the violin, the harmonium, the tabla, the sitar, and guitar. As guitar came in, he would say, "Yeah, I can play it. Give me the instrument." Gan Babu also something like that. This kind of versatility we saw in them. So, but his main instrument was still Esraj. And around after the lunch, late lunch, maybe at 1:30, 2 o'clock, he will have lunch. Then he will take a short nap, and then go out. Tuition around 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, he will dress up and leave. And he would see me as he leave, and then would like to see me every now and then throughout the course of the day. That was his waiting, but my waiting started until he came back home. So at that age, I would be put to bed at 9 o'clock, and it was quite a struggle for me to pretend being asleep for 2 hours until he came back at 11. My mother knew that I was not sleeping from the blinking of my eyes. And she would sometimes come and scold me and say, "Now I'm going to hit him. You have to go to school. He was still not sleeping." And she knew the reason. I would wait for him to come back home and knock on the door. His wife or his son, usually his wife will come out and open the door, and he will go inside. Quietness, in the quietness of the night, I could hear every sound and tell what he was doing. He would clean his mouth and rinse his mouth with water, and then he would ask for the meal, and then he will enjoy the meal, and then he will light up the biri, he will smoke the biri, and then he will pick up the esraj. And I was just waiting for that first note, which would inevitably put a goosebump on me. And for half an hour, 45 minutes, 1 hour, all the duration he was practicing, I'd be in tears. Later on, you know, when I was teaching at Yale University, one of my students, when I asked them to write articles on their experience of music, one of my students wrote that, you know, she started, the first paragraph was like this, and the first sentence was this: no one ever cries in our family. We had deaths, we had accidents, we had tragedies, but I have never seen anyone cry in our family. Only time I saw my father crying was when he listens to music. So this is whom I owe my musical sensibility to. And if my music can ever, you know, I play tablas. Mm-hmm. And I always had this question that, will I be limited in scope? And in 1982, that was actually what put me restless, and I picked up several occasions to quit my job at All India Radio, because in my book, Music of India, in the front of the book, I have confessed that until my late youth, I thought music is divine, musicians are not. I didn't have examples in front of my or around me to encourage me to really take up music as a profession. So in 82, when I was touring with Pandit Nikhil Banerjee, I gave it a second thought, that if this man can be in music, maybe I can give it a shot. I don't know him well enough yet, but I smell something, I see something there, which I hadn't seen much around me. I won't say that there were not any other person at all. There might have been a few, but not enough to convince me to engage myself or dedicate my entire life. It's my life, Sanjay, I'm talking about. And it's a responsibility. There's no other choice. Once you dedicate yourself to something, that's how you live your life. It may be 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, whatever it is. And I had a clear vision of my life, how I wanted to spend these years on this planet. So he gave me that impetus, that encouragement, and convinced me that I could give it a shot. In one of those 3 months, I asked him directly this question, that, Dada, you have your instrument, the sitar, and it seems to me that you can practically express any of your emotions through the sitar. What am I going to do with the dead skins? And he barely spoke. He put some panparag into his mouth to avoid speaking, and then he would just go quiet. One day gone, 2 days gone, he knew that I'm not going to give up. I'm going to bring up that question again. And he was thinking, clearly thinking. 3 days later, when I asked him that question again during the lunch break, he just briefly said that, if you wish. And these are two things we are not ready to do with sincerity: wishing and waiting. When you wish something, be careful, Chandra, because if you wish anybody, I mean, I'm not talking to you, but if you wish something with sincerity and continuously, you may get answered. So you need to be very careful. And imagine what happened. This was in 82. In 1996, when my son was putting up my website, he needed my biodata. And I gave him my biodata. He said, give me press comments. So all the press comments I had saved, I put it together, you know, with bullet points. Some of them were in Bengali, in Hindi, in English. And then once you organize them, date, who wrote it, where it came out, review second time, third time. Every time I read it through, I became alert of something. And then I realized that all of the reviews I had received so far were talking about the melodic aspect, the melodious aspect, the musical aspect of my tabla.
So you got that.
I was amazed. Not just convinced, but I was amazed that I wasn't even aware it was happening. So this is how things shape up naturally. And that's what I would say, you know, not an advice, just a humble recommendation to all musicians of our next generation and next generation, that keep your intent straight and honest.